He stood up quickly and unsteadily.
Excellent suggestion. Let's go. Don't want to die of hypothermia like Edgar Allan Poe.
You mean Poe, not Pope.
What? Why are we talking about the Pope?
We're not.
That's what I thought.
It was obvious I had better get him into fresh air and then home as soon as possible. I put on my coat, then assisted him with his. I tied his scarf around his neck while he fumbled with his gloves. As I was doing this, he peered at me. He said,
"You know, following your arrest, a very big alumnus with very deep pockets phoned me about you, inquiring into your character. I had no choice but to inform him it was excellent."
Hugh Blackwell?
"Yes, that's the man. That's the bloke. You know him?"
"I just received an invitation from him to have dinner at the Columbia Club. Dean Simmons also sent me a note warning me to show up or presumably forget about graduating. You think I should go?"
"I don't think you have to do Dean Simmons any favors, but you can do yourself one. This guy takes a liking to you. Your future's probably made. My advice is go have a free dinner. Then come back and tell me about it."
I helped him lock up. There were lights on in a few offices down the hall. So I led him the opposite way, hoping to avoid other faculty members. We rode down alone in the elevator. When we reached the ground floor, I checked the lobby first for any school administrators, particularly Dean Simmons. It would be especially disadvantageous for the professor to run into him just now. However, there were none but a few student types loitering about, so I hurried him across the lobby and out through the double doors. It had finally stopped snowing. The air was now clear, except for tiny, almost invisible ice crystals, which were still drifting down, inducing you to blink if you looked up. Now, on his 2 feet, the professor was positively reeling. It was going to be obvious to anyone observing him, near or far. His attempt at walking a straight line was more like a continuous S-curve. He was behaving less like the distinguished professor of English taking a stroll, and more like a slalom skier. I took hold of him by his coat in the middle of his back, between his shoulder blades, and tried to both support him and steer him at the same time. We made it as far as the sundial before he demanded a rest. His weaving steps had covered twice as much ground as mine. He bent over with his hands on his knees, sucking in breaths. I hoped he wasn't going to be sick, or worse, pass out.
"I'm a failure, Parker. I'm a failure."
"No, you're not. Come on, Professor, you're no failure."
"Yes, yes, I am."
"No, you're not, Professor. Come on."
"I am too."
"Then all I can say is, if that's failure, I hope I can fail as good as you someday. Let's keep moving, okay? Come on, it's cold out here."
"I don't feel it."
"I know, that's what worries me. Come on." He straightened up. I held his upper arm close to my body, which forced him to walk a straighter line. He tipped his head back while walking and looked up at the sky, squinting and blinking. Then he shut his eyes altogether and stopped walking. "Wait, wait, Professor, don't go to sleep. Let's keep moving. We gotta keep moving." Employing a gentle form of a police come along, I got him moving again. We continued at a faster pace, heading down College Walk towards Broadway. As we passed the front gates, he signaled another need to stop. He did this by pushing me away with his arms and then staggering over to the statue of letters. He seemed to be suffering from dizziness. With arms outstretched, he leaned against the base of the statue and spread his legs as if he were about to undergo a police frisking. He braced himself against the statue, alternating groans and hiccups. It was obvious his world was spinning around faster and faster before his eyes. I stood close by in case he got flung off.